All right, turn if you would please to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we will be for the message here this evening. And we are going to take a little bit of time to look at verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And as we have been going through the book of 2 Timothy with a theme of an exhortation to a man of God, I want to remind you of what we saw in the first part of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Those verses say, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And we are going to focus on verse number 5, where again it says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And I would remind you that the previous verses tell us this, that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So the promise is this, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So in light of that statement and the other statements that were made in verses 1 through 4 about people turning away from the truth unto fables, what should be my response as a man of God? What should be your response as a man or woman of God? What should we do knowing that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine? What should be our response? Well, God gives us here in this passage of Scripture in verse number 5, three action steps that we can implement today knowing that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And I want to share those three action steps with you that are found there in verse number 5. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity that you've given us today to be able to be in your house, to be able to pray together, to be able to hear your word preached. And I am asking you, Lord, to meet with us in a very special way that Jesus Christ might be glorified. Now, Lord, we say that a lot, and it's very easy for that to be a cliche with us. And Lord, I don't want it to be that way. I don't want it to be empty words when I ask for Christ to be magnified and glorified. And Lord, more than that, I know you don't want it to be just empty words. I know you want it to be reality. So Lord, because of your desire to lift up and exalt your own name, please do so tonight. Please do so that things might be the way they should be. And please use your word to do that. Help me to be cognizant of you and your presence and the fact that you need to lead and not me. Please help all of us to be cognizant of the fact that your word will speak to us if we have hearts that are tender and ready to receive something from you. And please guide and direct in this service that, again, Christ might be glorified and your church might be exhorted and edified in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, what are the three action steps that we can take, that we can implement in these days, knowing that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine? Well, the first one is the word watch. We can watch. And specifically, it says in verse 5, but watch thou in all things. And I hope you kind of get the context of that, that Paul is telling Timothy, all right, this is the way it's going to be in the last days. You're to preach the word. The time's going to come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but you preach the word. And then he says, but watch thou in all things. Knowing that this is coming, here's what you need to do, watch in all things. And this reminds me of the service of the individual in the Old Testament that you read about who would stand on the walls of a city, maybe in a watchtower or something like that, and that individual would watch the horizon for any danger that might come. And if you remember, Ezekiel even talks about that, the fact that it was the watchman's job to warn the people when danger was coming. So his job was to look out on the horizon, and if the enemy approached, he was to put the trumpet to his mouth and to blow the trumpet and sound an alarm and let the people know that danger is on its way. Well, that's the idea here of what Paul is telling Timothy. You know what it's going to be like in the last days, Timothy, so watch thou in all things. And he's not talking about watchings for other people's sake. That would be preaching the word. Rather, he's to watch for himself. Because you can't control what others will do, but you can control how you are living your life. You and I are to preach the word. We're to do those things. But then the reality is all we can do after that is say, I've told you what the truth is, and now I need to make sure that I live according to the truth. So it reminds me of 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Keep your place there in 2 Timothy, but turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Notice what the Apostle Paul here says to Timothy. In verse 16, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Notice he told Timothy, take heed unto thyself. Wouldn't it be a shame if you and I were to preach to others and tell them what the Word of God says, and then we were negligent to ourselves, and we were so worried about others, like Jesus said, about them having a mote in their eye, and we don't even recognize the beam that's in our own eye? And that's easy for us to do, and that's why Paul told Timothy, watch thou in all things, be a watchman, and look out for danger. Look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 5. Again, you'll want to keep your place in 2 Timothy, but look over at Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. See then, well, I tell you what, let's look at verse 13 because it's going to give us some good context. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We are to walk circumspectly. That word circumspect or circumspectly is a word that if you think about the root word of it and the combination of words that make up that word, you understand it very well. You really have two parts of it. You have circum and then spect. Well, when we hear the word spect, probably what comes to your mind is the word spectacles, as in eyeglasses. And then circum should give us the idea of around, like to circumnavigate the globe, right? It's to go around it. So circum would be around, and spect would be see. So keep your eyes looking all around you and make sure that you're careful all around you. Last night at dusk, after school, my children and I had something that we needed to do down in Stoughton. So we went down to Stoughton, and when we were coming back, we were on some side roads. So we took from Stoughton, we were going to Deerfield where our home is, and we drove on 51 out to N, and then we took N up to B, and when we took B over to W at Utica, and then we took W north, which leads up to 12 and 18, basically right at Deerfield. Well, when we were on W, just south of 12 and 18, we kind of went up a hill, and it was dusk, you know, which is the worst time to drive ever, isn't it? Because things aren't quite dark, and they're not quite light. But anyway, we got over a hill, and there were three deer right in the middle of our lane. Yeah, I know, that's what I said. Wow, in my mind, that's what I thought too. And so we stepped on the brakes. Did you step on the brakes, Caleb? Abigail, you didn't either. I stepped on the brakes, okay? I stepped on the brakes. I always speak in, you know, first person plural all the time. But anyway, I stepped on the brakes and kind of veered over into the left lane. And two of the deer were smart, one was not. Two of the deer jumped to the ditch, and one jumped to the same lane I was going to. He said, ooh, this is fun. Let's try this. Well, he and my fender had a nice meeting, and fortunately my car wasn't too damaged. I broke a little corner side light there for like a $30 fix. It's not a big deal whatsoever. But it was not so nice for the deer. He's now in that great grazing grounds in the sky, basically, I'll put it that way. he met his match, and it was a 1996 Toyota Avalon. Okay, we'll put it that way. But regardless, you know what I realized is this. One of the things I tell to people, I heard a joke, by the way, one time that in Wisconsin, the way to know that somebody loves you is that when you leave them, they say, watch out for deer. That's Wisconsinite for I love you, okay? So I say that, right? Isn't that right, Brother Cattell? That's right. So I didn't have anybody to tell me watch out for deer. I usually say that to people, but you know what I realized is I wasn't even really thinking about deer. Now I should have been. It's dusk. And by the way, where do I live? Deer Field. I was near Deer Field. Wouldn't you think that this smart pastor, college-educated young man, would realize as you're approaching Deer Field there might be a few deer in the road? But I was oblivious. I was just driving. And you know, many times when we're driving, all joking aside, aren't we that way? Every once in a while, we need to be reminded, oh yeah, that's right. I can't just watch out for cars. I need to watch out for animals on the road too, specifically those big ones on hooves that have antlers, you know? I need to watch out for those things because they come out that time of night. And I was thinking about 1,000 other things that go through my mind at the end of a day, just like it does for you, and I wasn't driving circumspectly. And I think if I had been watching a little bit closer and thoughtful, I probably wouldn't have hit him. I probably would have seen him a little bit earlier, but they surprised me. And you know, Paul is telling Timothy, watch. Pay attention. You're focused on ministry. That's good. Be focused on ministry. God doesn't want you to be lazy. God doesn't want you to take it easy. God doesn't want you to just take the path of least resistance. God wants you to work, and he wants you to work hard. But don't work so hard that you forget to walk circumspectly. Don't work so hard that you forget that you need to watch yourself, because Satan has a target on your back. And he wants to destroy you if you are trying to serve the Lord. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, which says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word keep is very similar to the word watch. It's the idea of I'm going to guard it. This is something that is important to me. It is treasure, and I'm very careful to watch it. And you and I need to keep our heart, because that's where Satan will try to get you. And if he can get you to where your heart goes to the things of the world, or your heart goes to, you know, cares or whatever it might be, and they're all related, then he's got you, because out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. Look with me, if you would, at Mark chapter number 13. Mark chapter number 13. Mark 13 and verse 28. Jesus, of course, is speaking here, and he is going to give a parable, and he says in verse 28, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender, and put forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. And he's speaking about his second coming. And by the way, the rest of the chapter, the earlier part of the chapter, gives a lot of different things that we can look for to know that his coming is near. And some of those things are taking place right now, aren't they? We ought to be circumspect. Verse 30, verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. In other words, when you begin to see those things, recognize that it's that generation. Verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Now, by the way, let me just say this real quick about verse 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not what the time is. Remember that verse, because there are many different ideas as to when the second coming of the Lord is. A lot of different ideas. You'll have one guy on this spectrum that says A, B, and C has to happen before the Lord comes back. And another one says, oh, the very next thing that's going to happen is the Lord coming back and, you know, blah, 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 blah. all kinds of different ideas all across the spectrum. But the Bible is very clear. And it's clear in this manner that you and I don't know when it's going to happen, so we are to always be watching for it. One of the problems that I have with some of the ideas of when the Lord will come back is what they cause us to do is go, oh, well, it can't be today because I haven't seen this happen yet, so I don't really have to worry about it. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says I'm to watch because it could happen right now is the idea of this. I don't know when it is, so I am to be watching for that. Okay? Verse 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. We need to be careful that he doesn't find us sleeping. And what Paul was saying to Timothy is, okay, Timothy, the time's going to come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. All right, Paul, what should I do? Okay, Timothy, just watch. Watch in all things, not just for the second coming of Christ, but in everything. Walk circumspectly and watch. Be ready. Because if the Lord came back today, you want to not be ashamed at his coming. And friends, that's true for every single one of us, no matter what your ministry is, whether you're a full-time Christian worker, whether you just have a small ministry in everyone else's eyes, it does not matter. Our job is to watch and make sure that if the Lord were to come back today, he would not find us sleeping. And I'm so afraid that, not for this group here, I realize that I'm speaking to the group that wants to serve God with all their heart. But I'm so concerned many times that we're so busy with the things of this world that we're sleeping spiritually. That there are so many important things in this life that we need to be concerned with, and they're all about the work of the Lord, and everything else needs to be set aside. It's unimportant in the grand scheme of things. And that's not to mean that we can't enjoy little things here and there, but never let them have your heart. Guard your heart. Again, using the illustration of marriage, when I promised my wife that I would be faithful to her at the wedding altar, what I meant is, I will never be unfaithful to you. You are the only one woman for me. But what I did not do was I did not promise her that I am never going to speak to any other woman ever again about anything. That would be foolish. She would expect me, I would expect her, to be in this world, and that means I'm going to have to every once in a while talk to some other woman. And she's going to have to talk to some other man. But what I expect of her and what she expects of me is I guard my heart with every other woman, and she guards her heart with every other man. That we'd never allow someone to get in and get close to us in our heart. You understand that that's what the Lord Jesus expects of you? He's not expecting you to go live in a monastery somewhere, and you know, wrapped up in nothing but spiritual things so that you never deal with anything in the world. He's got you in this world, but he doesn't want you to be of this world. He doesn't want the world to have your heart. And that takes some doing. That means that you have to be circumspect. Just as a husband or a wife that deals with people of the opposite gender all the time, the idea is when you go to work and you have to deal with somebody of the opposite gender, that you're careful, and maybe even that person is maybe making some advances towards you. And I know that happens in this wicked world that we live in, but that you would be circumspect to the point where you would keep the distance and make it known that I am faithful to my spouse and I will never even entertain that idea. And listen, we need to do that with the Lord Jesus and remind this world that although I have to be in this world and interact with this world, you're never going to be able to have my heart. We all need to be that way, and that's what Paul is telling Timothy. All right, the next thing is, and we're rapidly losing our time here, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 5, but watch thou in all things. All right, the second action step is what it says there in the second part of verse 5, and it says do. All right, let's see here. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. And then it says, do the work of an evangelist. So the third action step is to do the work of an evangelist. So it is something that is a legitimate ministry that God gave. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible tells us that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and teachers. But one of the things that's mentioned there in Ephesians 4:11 is that we are to also remember that God gave evangelists to the church. Now, the word evangelist is not used often, but what it means in the Bible is this: a bearer of good news. And it's a legitimate ministry and office in the local church. If we look at, and let's take just a moment to look over there, Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. Acts chapter 21, notice what it says there in verse number 8. It says, "And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him." Now there's a man named Philip who was an evangelist, but it also says that he was one of the seven. Do you remember what those seven were? That's from Acts chapter 6, where the deacons were chosen. And by the way, the name Philip is mentioned among those that were chosen for deacons. So he was a deacon, but he's also an evangelist. One of the interesting things about that is in chapter number 8, you find him evangelizing. Imagine that, an evangelist evangelizing. But that's exactly what you find him doing. We won't take the time to look at it. But in chapter 8, you know what you find him doing? The Holy Spirit says, "Go unto that desert place, and there's someone there I have for you." And he goes there, and there's the eunuch of Ethiopia, right? And he is passing through. And Philip goes near to the chariot, hears him reading from the book of Isaiah, and he says, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch says to him, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he says, "Is this a prophet speaking of himself or of some other man?" And Philip began to preach unto him Jesus, and the eunuch got saved and baptized. So what you find there is an evangelist bringing the good news of the gospel. Now, with that said, if you think about now what Paul is saying to Timothy, "Timothy, knowing this, that in the last days people are going to look for teachers, having itching ears, they're going to turn away from their ears from the truth, what should you do? Do the work of an evangelist." And it's the same for you and me. Okay, people are going to go astray in the last days. What should we do? Watch yourself, watch in all things, make sure you do right. The next part of that, which links up, I guess you could say, with the first one, we could have made it a second action step, is endure afflictions, because you're going to face afflictions. But then do the work of an evangelist. Lead people to Christ. Be out giving the gospel. God wants you to do that. Then the last action step is this: make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. So the first action step, watch. Second one, do. Third, make. Make full proof of thy ministry. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 25 tell us that whatever we do, we should do heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Why? Because we serve the Lord Christ. You remember what 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 2 tells us? That is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So make full proof of your ministry. Every one of you here, every single one of you, as a ministry of some kind. And you know what God wants you to do? Make full proof of it. God's given it to you. Now live up to it. That's a big deal. We all ought to look around and just say, "Wow, it's amazing that God gave me the ministry that I have. And I want to make full proof of it so when I stand before the Lord, I'm not ashamed." Turn with me. We'll make this the last part that we turn to, Luke chapter number 19. Luke 19, and then we'll close with this. We need to remember that we will give an account someday. Luke 19, verse number 12. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called on him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, Behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I had not laid down, or laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give to him that hath 10 pounds. Now we'll stop right there. I would encourage you to read the rest of it. With those three individuals, did you notice that all they had to do was invest what God gave them, or what the leader gave them? When they reported to him, they didn't say, hey, I've gained 10 pounds for you. They said, your pound or your 10 pounds hath gained 10 pounds. All they had to do was invest it. And you know, that's the same with you and me. There's no magic to this whole thing. God's given us a ministry. You know what we need to do? Just do it. Minister. And let God worry about the results. But our job is to invest with it. Just like with money, I may not be able to manipulate the market. But with money, if I want to invest, I just put it in there and I trust that the market will do its work and the money will gain other money. And the same thing with the ministry that God's given to me and God's given to you as well. Okay, in the last days, things are going to get bad. What should we do? Make full proof of your ministry. Because in the grand scheme of things, God doesn't have you here so that you can change the world. You know what he's got you here to do? Work for him. And all you have to worry about is someday you will stand before him. The only question that you need to ask yourself is, if I were to stand before him today, would I be ashamed? Or would I meet him with joy, being glad that he's come? And I want to make sure that if he were to come today, I would not be ashamed. And I would encourage you to have that same heart attitude. Let's pray, and then we will be dismissed. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity that we've had in your word to be able to look at this exhortation to Timothy from Paul, that in the days when we know that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, that we can have an action plan. And we know that we are just simply to watch, to do, and to make, to simply do what you've given us to do and trust you with the results. Lord, would you help us as a church, help us as individuals with that? I ask for every ministry that's represented here that you would help each and every one to do their ministry to the best of their ability and that Christ might be glorified through it. Now, Lord, as we go our separate ways here this evening, would you dismiss us with your blessing, keep us safe, and help us to be people of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, very good. I'm going to ask you to stand here.